Welcome back to The Inspired Educator, empowering new teachers to thrive. I'm your host, Dr. LaToya Crockett, and I'm so excited to have you join me today. This podcast is all about supporting new and aspiring teachers as they navigate the joys and challenges of teaching. Whether you're a first-year teacher, a substitute teacher, or transitioning into education, we are here to uplift and support you as you navigate your teaching journey. Today's episode is all about something every new teacher, every teacher will face at some point. Students who are testing boundaries. The good news is that this behavior is completely normal. Here's the better news. This is something that you can manage. Today's episode is here to support and help you manage students who are testing boundaries by offering you clarity, consistency, and hopefully a shift in your mindset, a shift in the way you see students testing boundaries. So let's jump right in. The first thing we are going to do is talk about why do students test boundaries in the first place. Once you have a good understanding of why students do what they do, why students push your buttons, why students choose to not follow the rules, you are then able to come up with a better response in order to help you to deal with these behaviors. Your response shouldn't come from a place of anger or frustration. The goal is for you to respond with clarity, with understanding, to have a consistent response when these behaviors arise. So let's take a look at three very specific reasons as to why students are going to test boundaries. One, students are literally learning about the world around them. In this case, they are learning about your classroom. They are learning about your systems. They are learning about you. Part of growing up is figuring out what is okay and what is not okay to do in different settings. The second reason that students test boundaries is that they're just not used to your system. When you have students who have very loose structure at home, or students who might be in third, fourth, or fifth grade, they've been in school long enough to be in multiple classrooms. Different classrooms have different systems. So every year, they have to relearn a different system. They have to get used to a new teacher. In order for them to do that, they are going to push your buttons. They are going to test their boundaries. They are going to learn, what can I get away with in this classroom? So again, students just might be used to different systems, the way different adults manage their behaviors. The final reason why students test boundaries is because they are literally watching and waiting for your response. They want to know, what is it that I can get away with? How are they going to respond to my behavior? Are they going to laugh and joke with me? Are they going to ignore that behavior? Or will they tell me to stop and then enforce a consequence? And let's take it one step further. Are they going to be consistent with that consequence? Not only are students watching and waiting for how you are going to respond to their behavior, they are also watching and waiting how you will respond to their classmates. Will you respond the same? Will it be fair? Now, these three different ways that students test boundaries are not the only reasons that students test boundaries. There is a long list of the whys behind why children do what they do. Today's focus is going to be on these three. Students learning about the environment around them, students having to learn new systems, and students watching and waiting for your response are all developmentally appropriate. When students exhibit these behaviors, they are not bad. They are literally just learning. Your job as an educator is to help them figure that out, to help them figure out what behavior is acceptable in your classroom, what behavior is not acceptable in your classroom, and exactly how do you want them to behave in your room. Now, when you're in the classroom and students push back a little, it can throw you off, especially when you've already taught the routine or explained the expectation. You might start asking yourself, well, why aren't they following directions? Or what did I do wrong? When you start to think like this, pause, take a moment, regroup yourself. This is where you need to change your mindset. you shouldn't stop and ask yourself, why aren't they listening? The question that you need to pause and think through is, did I teach that expectation? This is where your consistency starts. This is where consistency really matters. Let me give you a few examples of what testing behavior might look like, and then let's jump into a few things we can do when this happens. Sometimes you might see students talking while you're giving directions. As adults, we think it's common sense not to talk when someone else is talking. You might see students not transitioning the way that you taught them or when you've prompted them to do so. Maybe your transitions require movement through music. When children do not transition when they're supposed to or when you are prompting them, that's pushback, right? But you have to figure out why. Sometimes you'll have students who are laughing or joking right after you've said, let's take it to a level zero, or you've asked them to be quiet. A lot of students like to have side conversations when they're doing their independent work. Let's be honest, some of us adults will do the same thing, especially when we're sitting in professional development. Sometimes you will have students who clearly know what the expectations are, but they choose not to follow them. It's still a chance for you to guide your students and to teach your students to correct the behavior. So what exactly are you supposed to do when these situations arise? The first thing you need to do is to make sure that you have regulated your emotions. Make sure that you are calm. Make sure that you are monitoring your tone. Make sure you are monitoring your body language. The next thing you need to remember is never take it personal. Your students are not trying to embarrass you. They're not trying to challenge you. They are just testing boundaries. They want to know, what is it that I can get away with? When a student is testing their boundaries, immediately ask yourself, now that you are calm and you are able to respond in a respectful tone, make sure you ask yourself first, did I teach this specific routine? Is this a routine that I have taught? Is it a routine that I've taught more than once? Is it a routine that I have modeled for students? Am I 100% sure that this student knows exactly what the expectation is? If the answer is no, or you're really not sure, then you just need to revisit those routines. What I like to do in my classroom so that I don't necessarily single someone out is I will ask students, what is the routine? So for example, if I have students who are talking during independent work time, I will say, friends, can you please remind us what is our voice level during independent work time? And students will respond with a zero. After I've done that, I now know that the students are aware what the expectation is. I've had some of the class repeat it themselves, and then I know that the student that I was really doing that for heard it from their peers. At this point, either the student will stop because they know that they shouldn't be talking, or they're going to continue to push buttons. If they choose to continue to push buttons, for me, this is where proximity comes into play. I am up. I am moving around. I am very intentional about where I am standing. So I am going to go over and stay in the area of where this student is working. If proximity does not work, then I am very direct. I will go sit at the table with the students, kneel next to the student, and ask them, what is it that you need? Because they're talking for a reason. Either they need help with their work, maybe they don't understand their work, or let's be honest, they just don't want to do the work. If it is a student who needs help, that's an easy fix. Give the directions again, give them the support that they need, and then they are able to carry on. If it is a friend who does not want to do the work, then at that point, it's going to require a bit more conversation. For me, in my classroom, what I like to do is figure out why we're not wanting to work. If it is work that is required by the district, meaning it comes from the curriculum, unfortunately, there's nothing that I can do. The child has to complete the work. It is a district requirement. So we have to get it done. So in our classroom, we like to say we work first, we play later. So I let my student know, I understand that you may not like this. I understand that you might think it's boring. Let's hurry up and get done with our work. That way, we can go out and we can play at recess, or we can play at choice time. Or if you have built-in brain breaks, we can enjoy our brain break. Unfortunately, if we don't get our work done now, the only time that Dr. Crockett has to work with you is during your recess, or during your brain break, or during your choice time. Whatever that additional activity is that the student enjoys doing, that's the time you have to work with them. 0.9% of the time in my classroom, those steps are sufficient. Now, if we get extreme behaviors and that does not work, they are still not wanting to do the work. And in addition to not doing the work, they are talking, which means they're bothering or distracting other students. Sometimes it means it's a break. And I do use in the classroom breaks as well as a buddy room. So sometimes it's go take a quick 5 minutes in the calm down corner. When you're done, come on back and let's get some work done. Sometimes it's simple. Come over and sit next to Dr. Crockett. Maybe you just need to sit next to an adult to get your work done. Sometimes it's a much bigger issue at hand. Maybe it's something I didn't see. And those types of situations require more conversation. If you have the time, have the conversation right then and there. If you don't have the time, then you will need to figure out a better time throughout your day where you can sit down with this student and really find out what's going on. Now, let's take it back to the list of things that we can do when students test your buttons, when they test boundaries. Again, make sure you are monitoring your tone. Make sure that you are calm. Make sure that you are able to respond without yelling at your students. Remember to not take it personal. Revisit your routines. If you know you've taught those routines, you're going to go back over the steps that we just went through. If you know that you did not teach a routine, or maybe you just missed one, or it just needs to be practiced some more, then do that. Go back over the routines. Make sure that you're consistent. Please make sure that you are consistent. What you do for one student, you have to do for all of your students. What you did on Monday of last week, you're going to do on Tuesday of this week. Your students can see when you are not consistent. It makes things very confusing for them when you are constantly changing your routines. You can definitely adjust your routines if they don't work. But after the first few weeks of school, certain routines should be in place. Certain routines should be very specific and they shouldn't change too much. Watch your tone and your body language. Reinforce what's working. Celebrate when students meet expectations. Make sure that you celebrate students for the smallest things. I am a kindergarten teacher. One of the hardest things and yet the most effective things is constantly giving students verbal praise. And verbal praise for anything they do. I am so excited to see how Melissa pushed in her chair. Thank you, Xavier, for walking so quietly in the hallway. Jonathan, thank you so much for helping your friend. Timmy, thank you so much for picking up that paper off the floor. Any small thing that you can do to thank them for, to build their confidence, to reinforce the expectations you're looking for, you want to do it. And you want to do it in front of their peers, right? This is one of those things. We want to praise them in front of their peers because they love the attention. This is the positive attention we want to give them. When you have your students in your classroom, they're not just learning content from you. They're not just learning math or reading. They're learning social emotional skills. They're learning how to be part of a community. This takes time, repetition, and grace, not only for your students, but for you as well. If you are a new teacher and next year is going to be your first year in the classroom, some of the most commonly tested routines are talking, getting out of their seat. As a kindergarten teacher, I typically have a lot of students who come up to me and just tap me on my arm. Beginning of the year, it's always tapping on the arm and it's teacher, teacher. We're not supposed to be out of our seat. You can't just shout out. And my name is not teacher. These are the things that I have to teach my students at the beginning of the year. Now, I want to give you a list of 10 routines that every teacher should teach their students at the beginning of the school year. This is not a comprehensive list. There are so many more routines that you will have to teach, but these 10 are really important. I would recommend starting now. Think through what you want these routines to look like in your classroom. The first one, entering the classroom. When you are arriving at school first thing in the morning, how do you want your children to enter the classroom? 2, a morning routine. So after students have come into your classroom, where do they put their things? Do they go straight to their seat and start their morning work? Will you have STEM bins out for them in the morning? What exactly do you want them to do? How will you get your students' attention? Will you have attention getters? Start to think through what those attention getters will sound like. Will you use music? Will you use some type of chime or bell? Will you clap? Start to think through how will you get your students' attention. I highly recommend that you have a mix. You don't want to be talking at your students all day long. Your voice will get tired. So mix it up. Number 4, how will your students transition between each activity? How are they going to clean up? Will they move according to your words or your voice? Or will you use music? Number 5, what is the procedure for using the bathroom? Yes, it sounds very silly, but you do have to teach your students what you want them to do. Are you going to play a silent game in the hallway while you're taking a bathroom break? If you are fortunate and you don't have to leave your classroom because you have a bathroom in the classroom, can students just get up and go? If they do, how will you know that a child is not in their seat and they're in the bathroom? Start thinking through those routines now. Number 6, supplies, supplies, supplies. How will your students get a sharpened pencil? Will you sharpen pencils for them? Will they be allowed to sharpen pencils? What time of day should they sharpen pencils? Will their supplies go? Will you have a cubby? Will they have seat sacks on the back of their chairs? Will they have a desk where they will put their supplies? Do they all go in pencil cases? Will they have shared supplies or community supplies? Start to think about what you want those routines to look like. Number 7, asking for help. How will you know that your students need your help? Is it going to be a simple raising of the hand? Will it be a certain hand gesture? Are you a teacher who does not mind if your children get out of their seat and walk up to you and ask for help? Will they have to ask a friend at their table for help first before they can ask you? Number 8, how will students turn in their work? Will you simply walk around the room and collect it? Will you have a bin where students turn their work in? When you are working in a small group and children finish their work, what do you want them to do? Number 9, lining up and walking in the hallway. What are your expectations? Will you have a line order? Will you have a line leader? Will you expect your children to be in the hallway at a 0, or can they be at a whisper? Number 10, what does it look like for your students to pack up, and what does the dismissal process look like at the end of the day? How will you have your children get their things? How will they know when it's time to get their things to go home? If you have folders that you will send home at the end of every day, how are they going to get passed out? Will students have mailboxes where they get their own materials? Will you have to pass those things out? What are students going to do during the dismissal process? Will you put something on the board for them? Will they have an activity? Will they end their day with STEM bins? If they do, when their name is called for dismissal, how are they going to clean up really fast and then get out the door for dismissal? Sitting down and thinking through these routines might sound a little stressful now, but I promise you it's going to save you so much time, and it will significantly decrease your stress levels at the beginning of the school year. As you sit down and build out these routines, remember, clear routines will build well-structured classrooms for not only you, but for your students as well. To all of our teachers who are listening, I want you to remember, you are not just surviving, you are thriving with a purpose. Until next time.